Today, danger, inflation, traffic accident, dead ahead. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where that is post covering finance and property news. Well, the latest monthly data on inflation from the ABS came out today and showed an annual growth in the non-seasonally adjusted monthly CPI from 3.5% last month to 3.6% this month, which was above market expectations, while seasonally adjusted CPI was even higher at 3.8%. An annual trimmed mean inflation, which removes food, fuel and holiday travel, rose to 4.1% from a low of 3.8% in January. Consumers were hit with the biggest increase in health insurance premiums in several years, following the annual lift in health insurance premiums. Bad weather caused fruit and vegetable costs to rise, and the outcomes also driven by higher petrol prices, less household goods discounting, stamp price rises, and rents. In fact, both goods and services inflation rose. While the RBA still considers the quarterly CPI the best gauge of inflationary pressures, the new monthly indicators from the ABS will need to be factored into the central bank's interest rate decisions, particularly when it delivers an unexpected outcome. Junior Bank Chief Economic Advisor Warren Hogan said that the latest CPI figures would test the RBA's patience. Inflation is not falling back to target, with signs that inflation's underlying pulse might actually be picking up in 2024, he said. The RBA was very close to hiking the rate earlier this month. This number could tip them over to raising rates at the next meeting on June the 18th. This is not the progress the Reserve Bank wants to see, especially given the weakness in consumer spending evident across the economy. Whether in official retail sales data, which is going backwards in inflation-adjusted terms, or the big profit downgrades in the last week from the likes of listed car dealers Eagers Automotive and Peter Warren Automotive. With inflation surprising to the upside and the Fair Work Commission to announce next week an increase in the minimum wage, UBS chief economist George Tanniu says that there was a lingering risk the RBA could indeed be forced to raise the cash rate in the coming months. Inflation in the housing market remains a major source of upside pressure on the CPI in April. Housing rose 4.9% in the 12 months to April, which is down from 5.2% in March, and rents increased 7.5% in the year, reflecting a tight rental market and low vacancy rates across the country. New dwelling prices rose 4.9% over the year, with builders passing higher costs on for labour and materials to consumers. The annual price growth for new dwellings has been around 5% since August 2023. So while rent inflation edged lower to 7.5%, it does remain close to its fastest rate since 2009, as a lack of home building and strong demand drives rental vacancy rates to record lows. Disinflation in the costs of home building has stalled to an annual rate above 5%, due in part to a substantial pipeline of state government infrastructure projects, which is putting upward pressure on building materials and labour costs. Food price inflation accelerated to 3.8% from 3.5% after fruit and vegetable prices recorded their largest annual increase in 12 months. The ABS said unfavourable weather caused prices for berries, bananas, lettuces and broccoli to rise. Health inflation accelerated to 6.1% from 4.1% after the insurance industry raised premiums by 3.03%, which was the biggest annual rise since 2019. And transport prices rose 4.2%, mainly due to higher fuel prices compared to April last year. Automotive fuel rose 7.4% in the 12 months to April, following an 8.1% annual rise in March. Fuel prices, in fact, rose 2.2% just in April, the third consecutive monthly rise, reflecting higher wholesale fuel prices. Energy prices rose 4.2% in the 12 months to April, and the introduction of the Energy Bill Relief Fund rebates from July 2023 has mostly offset energy price rises from annual price reviews in July 2023 due to higher wholesale prices. Excluding those rebates, though, electricity prices would have risen 13.9% in the 12 months to April 2024. And even though the reweighted holiday travel and accommodation prices fell 6.2% in the 12 months to April, following a fall of 3.9% in March. In monthly terms, holiday travel and accommodation prices rose 4.6% in April, the first monthly rise since December 2023. The main contributor to the rise was international holiday travel and accommodation, reflecting higher demand for international travel over the Easter and school holiday periods. Goods price disinflation, which drove much of the falls in inflation last year, looks to have run its course actually, with price rises seen across men's and women's shoes, as well as major household appliances, and fruit and vegetable prices recorded their largest annual rise since April 2023. While economists and investors will be cautious about reading too much into Wednesday's monthly inflation data, Barrenjoey interest rate strategist Andrew Lilly rightly points out this remains a noisy set of numbers that so far has limited predictive power. It did provide, though, more evidence that the disinflationary processes in Australia have stalled. Treasurer Jim Chalmers, of course, downplayed the figures, pointing to the less timely quarterly inflation data as the better indicator of price pressures. As we've said many times, the monthly inflation indicator can be volatile and is less reliable than the quarterly measure because it doesn't compare the same goods and services month to month, Dr. Chalmers said in a statement. All this ahead of billions in state and federal government stimulus, though, that some experts believe will make the problem even worse. Shadow Treasurer Angus Taylor said Australians faced one of the highest and most persistent rates of inflation of any advanced economy due to federal government spending. So, in fact, both sides of the aisle are playing politics with these numbers that are just not good news for ordinary Australians. The opposition blames the government and the government blames the ABS monthly series, but hey, nothing new there. The disinflationary processes in Australia appear to have stalled so far this year after encouraging declines over 2023, BetaShares chief economist David Bonassi said. The upshot of today's inflation result is that interest rates are likely to remain at current restricted levels for an extended period, with little relief likely this side of Christmas. Indeed, there's a simmering risk that the RBA may feel obliged to raise rates further to reduce inflation in those demand-sensitive areas it can influence, such as discretionary consumer goods and services, to offset the inflationary pressures in non-interest rate-sensitive areas. Markets expect the RBA to keep the cash rate on hold at 4.35% until May 2025, at which point the central bank is tipped to deliver its first 0.25% rate cut. And yes, I did say 2025. So while annual headline inflation has changed little for months on end, economists expect it to fall sharply when federal and state government electricity rebates come into effect from July. Commonwealth Bank economist Stephen Wu estimates the various measures, which includes a $300 subsidy from the federal government and a $1,000 rebate for Queenslanders, will cause electricity prices to fall around 20% in the September quarter, and that will remove 0.5 percentage points from the CPI. And while that could be enough to temporarily send headline inflation below 3%, underlying inflation would still remain well above the RBA's 2 to 3% band, negating the prospect of near-term rate cuts. Economists have also argued that subsidies would be counterproductive, putting extra money into consumers' pockets and causing inflationary pressures to intensify. Let's not mention the tax cuts. Actually, leading economist Christian did and said that the combination of the Stage 3 tax cuts on July 1 and government subsidies could add to inflation if they were spent rather than stashed away. We're 5 weeks from more than 1.5% of national income arriving as government tax cuts and spending increases, so we need to hope saving is about to rise, he said. And Business Council chief economist Stephen Walters said the inflation figures would be ringing alarm bells down at the RBA and meant a rate rise could no longer be ruled out. A significant risk is that income tax cuts from mid-year and the big spending budget will add to aggregate demand in a fully employed economy, further delaying inflation's return to target, he said. Households already under pressure do continue to feel pain, as the latest data from Roy Morgan on consumer confidence reported another fall, and the accumulating data from the DFA surveys for May will report a further distressing rise in financial stress. The first results were reported in the Sunday show, with more detailed analysis to follow. Markets reacted to the news, with the ASX down 1.3%, while the two-year bond rate rose 0.84% to 4.183%. And the Aussie rose 0.13% against the US dollar to 66.56 cents. The ASX rate tracker shows a slight rise in October in interest rates and cuts pushed well out into 2025. So higher for longer again, And I would remind you that the RBA's blunt instrument of interest rate rises is only indirectly hitting many of the sectors of the economy. More significantly, global shipping costs are rising again, with Drewry's World Container Index up 16% to $4,072 per 40-foot container this past week. All major routes are impacted. So the inflation story is far from over. The short-term political interventions won't really help, and many households are under increasing pressure. Now, there's a nagging thought in the back of my brain, and that is, with inflation likely to rise further in the months ahead, could it possibly be that Labour will go to an election in the next few weeks? Well, it may be unlikely, but then just remember that in the UK, that's precisely what Rishi Sunak did. And some of the parallels between inflation temporarily going lower, but then rising, is something that's worth thinking about. Bottom line, though, is households are feeling it, will continue to feel it, and there is no rate relief ahead for some long time yet. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.